this week, December 23rd, 2014, on The Digital Story. Top stories of 2014. Lighting Q&A with Leah. Lens technology. Instagram cleans house. All of this and more with yours truly, Derek Story, on The Digital Story. Welcome back to another Digital Story. Have a terrific show for you. For those who celebrate Christmas, this is the big week. But I'm recording a podcast anyway because the way I look at it is you can only hang around family so long, drink so much eggnog, open so many presents, until you gotta sneak off and have a technology fix. And I hope when you do that, this podcast is one of the things that you tune into. So we have some good stuff for you today. I'm going to cover the top stories of 2014 on The Digital Story. I'm going to do a snapshot. Leah's going to stop by and she has a great lighting question that I'm going to address. Lots of good stuff. So if you are hiding from the family right now, welcome, and I will definitely make it worth your while. Snapshot: Instagram cleans house. This is just a quickie, but I just wanted to note that it did feel weird when Instagram wiped out, close to 100 of my followers. Now, they told me they were going to, and they said that they were spam accounts. And I was just a little surprised because my following is organic. I haven't done any promotion. I haven't bought ads. I haven't paid for any followers. Haven't done some of those Mickey Mouse things that I've seen on Instagram to build your following. I just, put up the pictures and try to answer questions. And I actually feel fairly close to my followers, and I follow many of them same way I do you with the podcast and the folks that are on Facebook. So when I saw my number go down by close to 100, it was just, it was just an odd thing. I don't know why it bothered me a little bit, but it did. I guess the real reason was because I had these kind of creepy spammers following me and I didn't know it. So anyway, to make up for it, I posted my top 7 shots from 2014 from Instagram. I posted it on The Digital Story and you can go check it out if you haven't already. It's a lot of fun and it helped me offset the creepiness from those spammers that were following me but who no longer are, thanks to the house cleaning. So anyway, I just wanted to note that because I hadn't talked about it anywhere else, and that is this week's snapshot. Let's get on to the weekly update. First one, lens technologies. Fluorine versus fluorite. I mean, these are two terms that are being used more now than I've seen before when talking about lens technologies. And I've got this from Petapixel, by the way, and I have a link to the article in the show notes. But if you're hearing fluorite and fluorine, or reading it probably more in lens reviews, here's the difference. Fluorine is a special coating that's applied to the surface of the lens that helps to repel things like dust, water, grease, and dirt. That's fluorine. Fluorite refers to the mineral that's used to create the lens elements inside the lens. It's a monocrystal that has a low chromatic aberration while being much lighter than traditional optical glass. And, they had a nice little tip on there. Fluorite is a mineral, think like meteorite, and, that'll help you make that connection. And fluorine is that coating. Also this week, the Tamron SP 15-30mm f/2.8 gets an official price tag, and it's lower than we thought. And this is compliments of f-stoppers. Tamron Japan has just released the official price tag for the lens, which will be translated into U.S. dollars, approximately $1,178, about $800 less than folks were expecting. It's set to release just 5 days from now, on December 25th. And of course, that depends on when you're listening to this show. Now, this is a lens that a lot of people are excited about because there aren't a lot of equivalents out there. Nikon has been sort of the gold standard with their 14 millimeter zoom. It's the f2.8. Canon has a 16-35 f2.8 zoom. But the neat thing with this Tamron is, of course, it'll work on Canon, Nikon. We anticipate Sony, and then maybe Pentax. Sometimes yes, sometimes no on that. But at this price for a professional level zoom, that also has image stabilization built into it, optical image stabilization. That's kind of a big deal at this price. So those of you that are shooting with DSLRs in those mounts, and you've been looking for a professional quality wide angle zoom with a wide aperture and image stabilization, well, December 25th, we should know for sure what the price tag is going to be. But right now, it's looking like it's going to be around $1,200 for the Tamron SP 15-30mm f2.8. And finally, Apple adds 7 cameras with RAW compatibility 6.02 update. Aperture still being updated, as is iPhoto, as is Preview, of course. These RAW updates are system-wide on Mac OS X Yosemite. And the cameras that are covered right now are the Canon PowerShot G7X, Canon PowerShot SX60HS, for some reason that was not easy to say, Fujifilm X100T, Nikon One J4, Olympus Pen Lite EPL7, the Panasonic Lumix DMC GM5, that's that cute little guy that I want, and the Sony Alpha ILCE5100. 7 new cameras, a couple on that list I wouldn't mind having in my camera bag right now. And that is this week's weekly update. Here's a fun year-end story. We're going to look at the top post for each month of 2014 on the Digital Story. And the reason why I like doing this is because it really gives us a feel for what people were interested in 2014. Now, before I read this list to you, I will tell you this. When you look at the stats for the Digital Story, the top stories are always the podcast. The downloads, you know, we serve the podcast ourselves. We serve the MP3 right off our own server. So we know exactly what is going on with everything. You know, our site is a movable type site. We handcraft it. We're in touch with every little nook and cranny of it. And so the top articles every month are always a podcast. This is a podcast-driven site, and I'm referring to the Digital Story. But I do, as you know, those of you that tune in a couple times a week, and thank you very much if you do, because, by the way, the site traffic on the Digital Story is important beyond the podcast. And the reason for that is that if I report good numbers on the site, that people are coming to read the news and see what's going on, then that helps me when I talk to manufacturers and people that I want to get review items from, people that I want to have partnerships with, all that kind of stuff. It helps me move the ball forward. So site statistics are a big deal still for me and for other sites that are like mine. By you coming by a few times a week, reading a couple stories, seeing what's going on, hanging out for a minute or two, that helps me when I go to Photo Plus Expo, when I go to meetings with manufacturers, when I do all those sort of things that I do in order to bring you more information that ends up not only in the podcast, but on the site too. So thank you very much for coming by. And part of the reason why I want you to hear these stories is that if you haven't been coming by very much in 2014, I hope you do stop by a few times a week in 2015. Let's get those numbers a little bit higher. Give us a little bit more clout when we're dealing with the photography world at large, and help me bring more good stuff back here to share with you. Okay, so let's go through these stories. January 2014, the top story for the month was 5 tips for shooting sports with the Olympus OMD EM1. For February 2014, the top story was the DIY slide digitizer with the Olympus OMD and Leica projector. So it's interesting, in January, it was a shooting article with the EM1, which at that time, the camera was a fairly new camera. There's a lot of excitement around it. Then in February, you know, we had a do-it-yourself article. Do-it-yourself articles tend to do well on the digital story, as does anything around Micro Four Thirds camera technology. So both of those made absolute sense to me, being the most popular stories in their respective months. Then in March, the top story was how to restore old photos in Aperture. And, you know, this came out of a project that I was doing where I had to do some of that work. And I discovered that I could do most of that work, if not all of it, in Aperture and not have to go to Photoshop and those other applications. Whenever I have a discovery like that, I'll write a story. And that's something that I learned way long time ago when I first started working with Web Review for O'Reilly Media. That was my first online editor job. And I was a writer there also. And I learned that if you do something interesting, write about it. You know, use all the buffalo, as we like to say. And that's where the March story came from. And it did quite well. It was the top story of the month. Then in April, the top story was, there's more to Lightroom 5.4 than Mobile Sync. Lightroom 5.4 came out, and also the synchronization with the iOS app, the Lightroom iOS app. And that's what the focus was about. But I discovered that there were some other pretty nice features in Lightroom 5.4. And that's something else that I like to do. If everyone is writing about one thing, then I like to look at, you know, what that thing is. Step back a little bit and see if there's, you know, maybe some information that isn't being covered. And if that's the case, then that's what I like to write about. Then we move on to May, and the top article was Dust Off Your Old Glass. And this is really kind of a DIY piece itself. And it's really talking about probably from the SLR days or maybe your earlier photography history, you probably have some lenses that you liked a lot that you still have, you couldn't bear to part with, but they weren't working on any of your current cameras. And so this is talking about, well, you know, you can dust those off and use them because there are a lot of adapters these days that work great. And I know in my case that my Zeiss lenses that I use with my Contax SLRs, I love those prime lenses. I have an adapter for my Micro Four Thirds cameras, and I pull those things out and I shoot with them all the time, and it's a blast. And it feels good to be using those lenses again. That's what I wrote about in May, and apparently a lot of other people liked that idea too. Then moving along to June, the top article was, this is probably not going to shock you, can't decide between Aperture and Lightroom, use both. Why not, right? So that's about setting up a referenced library if you're an Aperture user, which basically means that the master images live outside of the Aperture library. They can be on an external hard drive or on your computer, but they're organized outside of the Aperture library, which is the way that Lightroom manages things anyway. Those master files can be accessed by both Lightroom and Aperture, and they don't get messed with. And so you could edit one of those images in Lightroom, make it black and white, and make it a vibrant color in Aperture, and the master file remains the same. So it's kind of a fun way, and if you want to dabble with one of those applications, but you don't want to jump in with both feet, this is kind of a fun way to do it. And a lot of folks thought so, and therefore it ended up as the top story for that month. Moving on to July, the top story was, how does the Olympus 75 to 300 millimeter stack up? And I'll tell you, this lens, I got this lens during the summer. You know, I talked about Instagram earlier, and it was interesting to me that of the top seven Instagram shots I published, three or four of them were shot with this lens. It's a terrific lens that really provides you with great presence. It's sharp. It's a beautiful lens for outdoor work. I wrote about it. Clearly, a lot of people were interested in it, and they read the article. And I tell you, I still think that lens is a steal at $575 or whatever it's selling for these days. And then moving into August, the top story was new uses for old camera bags. And again, this sort of falls into that DIY category, repurposing stuff you already have. You know, not necessarily having to go buy something new to do something new. And, you know, a lot of us that are lovers of camera bags have a collection. Some of them aren't being used anymore. They've been replaced by newer bags. But that doesn't mean that they still can't have interesting roles, such as being your lighting bag or being a way to store your equipment safely in your closet, things like that. That's what that article was about, and lots of folks loved it in August. Moving on to September, the top story was what not to shoot with a typical zoom at sporting events. And this was fun because this sort of harkens back to that Olympus 75 to 300 millimeter. Well, the one thing it doesn't have is a fast aperture. It's something like 4.5 to 6.3 on the aperture. That's great for sporting events in nature where you have lots of sunlight, not a problem. But the minute you get to, let's say, a night baseball game, then you're not going to be able to shoot that action shot that, you know, you're not going to be able to freeze that baseball as it's coming off the hitter's bat at night with this lens. It just doesn't let enough light in. But there are a lot of other things that you can shoot with this lens, and you can get photos that you wouldn't be able to get with another lens. You just have to know, you know, what shots are best suited for this optic, especially with that maximum aperture. And that's what that article was about in September 2014. By the way, this list is in the show notes, so you don't have to memorize it. You can just go check it out as you're making your multi-weekly stop over at The Digital Story. The top story for October was long telephoto for landscape work. And so, you know, here this trend is, and I hadn't even thought of this trend until I put this list together, but one of the big themes for 2014 on the site was telephoto work, using a long lens, all that kind of stuff. And it really started with getting that lens in the summer, and then all the different things that I did with it through the summer and fall. Some of them worked better than others, and writing about it. And, you know, these stories were mixed in with all the other stories. I post about five stories a week on the site. But it was interesting that that theme was the one that consistently got the most page views. That happened again in October. And I'm talking about using a telephoto for landscape work, which I think is fantastic. It's actually a technique I learned from Galen Roll early on in my career. It was, you know, midpoint to late in his career. And that article talks about, and I have a nice shot from Mono Lake in that article. Then in November, the top story goes to software, which was Yosemite compatibility with Google NIC collection. Now, a lot of us like the NIC collection. I love silver effects. I love color effects, define, all that stuff. They're terrific. But I discovered again through use that there was a little bit of a hiccup in terms of Mac OS X Yosemite. I called Google support up, which, by the way, they were fantastic. And, I was just a regular customer to them. I didn't tell them I was writing an article. And got the skinny. And basically, he gave me a link to the latest version, which I discovered I didn't have, that worked better. He let me know that they were working on a very highly compatible version that would be released soon. All that kind of stuff. So again, as I said earlier, when I learn something new that I think would be valuable to other folks, I write about it. And that's what I did with this. And it ended up being the top story. And then finally, the top story for December this month was Panasonic 35 to 100 millimeter field test. Again, telephoto. This time, that cute little telephoto that I just adore, the 35 to 100 Panasonic, that was originally designed for the GM series, but works great on my OMDs. And I got that lens because I didn't want to bring the 75 to 300 to Cuba in January. I needed to travel absolutely as light as possible, but I still needed a lens with some reach. I discovered this lens. I tested it. It only weighs a few ounces. It is adorable. And it is sharp. It's a great lens. It's a wonderful optic, and I think it's like $375. I wrote about that, and that was the top story for December. So a very interesting trend in 2014. I would say telephotos definitely ruled the roost. It'll be fun to see what the top stories are in 2015. And again, I encourage you, please come by the site a couple times a week. Check out what I'm writing about. If you have things that you want me to write about or suggestions, you can drop me an email or you can comment on our Facebook page, facebook.com/thedigitalstory, which is also where you can comment on any story that I post on the blog. And I will listen to you. Believe me, I want to write stuff that our audience is interested in. And I'm looking forward to an exciting 2015. Story number two, photo Q&A number three with Leah, side lighting versus front. So Leah's coming by the studio here in a minute. The gist of this is she was admiring a photo that she saw. I think she said she saw it on Facebook. And it had a lot of texture. And she was wondering how the photographer achieved that texture. It was like fur that you felt like you could touch. And I said, well, come by. Let's talk about it. So she's dropping in right now. We'll have a little chat about it. And I'll answer her question. And it's a good discussion on front lighting versus side lighting. Leah, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. So we're going to talk a little bit more photography.
All right.
So what is on your mind today?
Well, I saw this photograph and I thought you might know how to achieve this. It's a black and white photograph of a leopard. And it's black and white, but it looks like you could touch the fur. The texture is so vibrant and so easy to see. So I wanted to know how you can achieve that.
I remember you showing me that photo. You had it on your phone, right?
I did.
Yeah. Where did you find the photo, just by the way?
I found it on Facebook. There's amazing photography on Facebook.
We don't want to digress too much, but I'm curious. So do you kind of follow things on Facebook, photography groups and people?
I do. I'm finding more and more as I go along. I haven't been active on Facebook much, but there's a lot of really good, talented groups out there.
Mm-hmm. So you do it for inspiration too, you know, just to see what's going on?
Yeah, I get ideas and then I see photos that I think, I could ask Derek how to get this and it's perfect.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, so I remember that shot that you showed me and wow, the fur really did, I mean, it just felt like you could touch it, right?
It was.
Like you could pet him, although you'd probably lose your hand if,
yes.
if you did in real life. So it's probably better as a photo. Well, I thought it was interesting what they did. Now, the black and white, in all honesty, didn't really have anything to do with the texture. But that was a nice choice for that shot because it really, I think the black and white helped isolate just the form of the shot and the fur and everything. Sometimes, you know, people think, you know, photographers will think, well, we get distracted by color. In other words, so if it was a color shot, you'd be thinking about the color and all. In black and white, you're just really looking at the tones and the texture. So I think in that sense, the black and white helped, but it didn't really help create that effect. What the photographer did with the effect was really through lighting. Did you, when you're looking at the shot, were you thinking about the lighting of it at all?
No, I didn't have to think about the lighting. I was just focused on the texture.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you were focused on the outcome of the lighting, but
yeah,
not so much how the photographer did it. So it was interesting. What the photographer did was he or she, they brought light in from the side instead of from the front. And if you go back and look at that shot, and you can tell this in photographs, you can see, you know, the area that will be a little bit brighter than the
yeah,
other areas. And that's the angle that the light's coming in. They brought it in from the side. And that's really important because this is a rule in photography. And it's a good one to know because the other side of it also has some impact too. But lighting from the side increases texture. So if I brought a light, you know, in from the side of your face right here, that would make all of your pores jump out. Your nose would probably look bigger and your eye sockets would look deeper. On a furry creature, like on a porcupine or something, then it helps you see, you know, all those hair or all those needles or any of that sort of stuff. Now, the other side to that is that if you bring in light from the front, like right towards you, that makes texture go softer. And that also flattens the image a bit. So if I was taking a picture of you, you would probably want me to put the light in front.
Yes.
Because that would open up your eyes. That would make your nose look flatter. Not that you have a big nose. But, you know, no one wants their nose highlighted, generally speaking. Make your nose look flatter and it would smooth your skin. So here's, you know, so this comes in really handy. So let's do a little quiz right now, see how you do.
Okay.
So if you're going to shoot an Adobe building that we're talking about, what time of day would you shoot?
I think early in the morning or in the sunset would be best.
Yeah, or late in the day, because the sun's at an angle then, right? It's coming in. Whereas in the summer, when it's high above, that's going to like flatten everything out. But in the morning, when it's coming in at an angle from the side, then that would make the texture, yes. So, ding, you get a correct answer on that one. If you were going to take a portrait of your mother, what kind of lighting would you use?
Front lighting.
And why would that be?
Because you don't want to emphasize pores or big nose or wrinkles or anything.
Exactly. If you brought the light in from the side, you know, the kind of portraits that we see with the light from the side is usually like the old craggy fisherman,
yeah,
right? Or something, Father Time. So that's light from the side. But you know, fashion models or anyone that we care about, we usually want to bring, you know, the light in from the front. Yes. And then so for animals and animals with fur and stuff like that, then side lighting is great if you want to show the fur, right?
Yeah.
So that's the rule of thumb. Light from the side accentuates texture and light from the front softens it. If you remember that, and it's really fun. Now, going back to your Facebook, if you, as you're looking at shots there, start analyzing those shots and thinking about where is the light coming from? Where is the light coming from? That's good practice so that when you're out shooting, you can arrange your angle or the subject's angle so you get the lighting for the effect that you want. Sound good?
That sounds awesome. It's really simple.
Yeah. We'll follow up on that later, but hope that helps.
Thank you so much.
All right. So I'll talk to you later.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
I enjoy those. I post the podcast on our Facebook page and on Twitter and on Google+. And I'd be curious to see what you think about these Q&As, if you like them. We have lots to talk about. I like the format myself, but I want to make sure it's working for you. A little bit of feedback, if you don't mind, on what you think about them, and that will help me shape the show. I'm thinking about, you know, what am I going to do with the show in 2015? That's one of the things that I'm considering moving forward with. Let me know what you think. I would really appreciate it. Believe me, Leah's feelings won't be hurt if you don't like it, nor will mine. But if you do like it, we're going to keep doing them. All right, just quickly, I just want to reiterate the Sizzle Picks winners, the latest. Two of them have already contacted me. Carl Short for Water in October 2014. I heard from Carl. He was very excited. As was Shelley Singer, the September 2014 Shot From Behind. The August 2014 winner, My Favorite Close-Up, by Gary Laguerre, I'm guessing, L-E-G-E-R-E. Have not heard from Gary yet. I'm hoping that we do. Congratulations to all three of them. They get a Sizzle Picks of their winning entry. And you have a chance to do so too, because our current photo assignment for the month of December is Frozen. You have to the end of the month to submit your picture, and one of those images will be selected as the Sizzle Picks pick of the month and possibly joining this list of illustrious photographers that I just mentioned. And speaking of Sizzle Picks, I have some news. I touched on this last week that Sizzle Picks does have Bill Me Later, which means you can have your Sizzle Picks now, but make no payments until June. It's great for things like selling your Sizzle Picks. You collect the money, set the money aside, and then you're ready to go when the payment's due. Or if you want to do a gallery showing with Sizzle Picks, then you can get everything up on the walls, put the price tags on them, collect your sales, and then make your payments in June. So it's kind of a fun thing. The option is there when you check out. And Sizzle Picks is like a retina display you can hang on the wall. And that means the wall of a coffee shop or your friend's house. SizzlePix.com. And they have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story. Red River Paper, they have their discount going right now. Save 10% off your next order of inkjet paper and greeting cards, good one per customer. Use discount code STORY10X, that's STORY 10X, and that ends on January 15th, 2015. And I haven't mentioned this for a while, but if you haven't done so, and you're an iTunes listener, if you get this podcast on iTunes, post a review for the Digital Story. I like to keep those fresh. That way, when new people come to check out the show, they can see what's going on. And it's really helpful if we have a number of reviews, and those of you that have posted reviews, God bless you. I appreciate you taking time out to do that. But I always like to have new ones there too, just so people feel that it's fresh and it's current. And if you haven't done so and you feel like you have some good things to say, you know, some interesting things to say about the show, then please do so. And just know that I will appreciate it. I will see your name there and I will just go, thank you very much, deep inside. All right. Well, I think that is going to do it for this week. If you're celebrating Christmas, I hope you have a fantastic holiday. If you're not celebrating Christmas, I hope you have a terrific week. And either way, come back next week. And then not long after that, I'm heading off to CES. And boy, it's going to be interesting to see what happens in Las Vegas. So have a great week. See you next week. And thanks for stopping by. Bye-bye now.